Good morning. I don't have anything to disclose this morning, and I'd like to acknowledge the people who work with me mostly on the Women's Health Midlife Assessment Clinic, especially Shanna Salmon. She's our administrative assistant who is kind of the backbone for helping us put this together. We developed this clinic and the goals for the clinic based on what's going on specifically in Utah, but I think across the nation as well. And I'm also going to discuss how the clinic was developed, the design, the data that we've collected so far on our pilot clinics, and our outcomes. So why the clinic was developed is that Utah ranks very, very low in many of the key health indicators nationally. It's kind of shocking to find out that we were 48th in preventative exams, in cholesterol screenings, in pap smears, in depression screenings, and then 47th in mammography screening, I think is pretty dismal. As all of you know in the room, women's disease burden is quite high, and 30% of women live with a chronic disease condition today, and it's expected to increase by 50% by 2040. Of women that we had in our clinic and national and across the nation as well, 39% are living with arthritis, which is the number one cause of physical disability. 36% have hypertension, 34% have high cholesterol. So obviously we want to address these issues. We also knew going into this that 50% of women are going to die of heart disease, and that most women don't realize that it's the number one killer of women nationally. 50% lifetime risk for osteoporosis fracture, and 20% risk of depression in their lifetime. So the goals of our clinic was to coordinate care among multiple providers and to provide comprehensive multidisciplinary care. We hope to increase our patient motivation to improve their healthcare behavior, which obviously can prevent a lot of these chronic long-term diseases. And we wanted to also have a clinic that increased patient satisfaction with the healthcare that they were provided. And then we hope to do additional research. What we found is that the model of care that the majority of women experience across the country is that we're in silos. From provider to provider, they don't communicate, and women themselves, as well as men, are having to coordinate their care. Once they have a diagnosis, they have to figure out which person to go to. So, with that in mind, at the University of Utah, we have a large health sciences center, which includes all of these different colleges, disciplines, clinics across our health science campus. So we had all of these people at the table with us. And it took about 3 years to figure out how we wanted to design the clinic, to design the questionnaire that we wanted to have the patients fill out prior to coming to clinic, and how we would run the clinic. And this was born out of the Center of Excellence. We were one of the centers of excellence across the country. So what we decided on the flow of the clinic is that before the visit, we would actually have women fill out a 20-page questionnaire, and this was a long time in designing this questionnaire, what to include. And then we also would figure out what labs we wanted them to get prior to seeing the health providers. What a novel idea, so that you'd actually come to the clinic and the labs would be there to discuss the day of the clinic with the provider you were seeing, rather than how it currently is, where you go in for your annual, then you have your labs, and if you're lucky, you find out what they are. Then the day of the clinic, we had group education. So we had 6 to 12 women who came to each clinic. We gathered in a room. I was the person that gave their presentation on menopause and what happens through menopause and postmenopause in the body. And I'll talk about what the other educational sessions were about in just a minute. Then they had individual assessments, and we also had health coaches that then would meet with the women about what we found out and try to help them individuate their care plan for the future. And then at the end of the day, we had a stress reduction, mindfulness-based meditation for the women before they went home. After the clinic, we then sent them a letter which reviewed their personal health information, the guidelines for their specific age group, and to help them implement their plans for the future. We helped them make referrals to the various specialists if they needed to get into them, and then we also did additional labs, as indicated, and then we would send the whole packet of information back to their primary care provider. So this was considered a health assessment clinic. We actually didn't manage their health care. We sent everything back to the primary provider to do that. So the routine screens that we ordered prior to the clinic were all of these things. And let me tell you, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not we should do a TSH on everybody, whether we should do a vitamin D on everybody. That took just three or four meetings by itself to decide to do that. Fasting glucose wasn't that controversial, but a hemoglobin A1C, if they were in the high-risk group. We made sure everybody got their mammogram prior to coming to clinic. Bone density, if they it was indicated, and there was a lot of discussion because the national guidelines say to do bone densities on women at age 60. We decided as a group to do it 3 years after menopause. So whenever they hit menopause, we would schedule it 3 years later. Of course, colonoscopy, and then the day of the clinic, we did pap smears if it was indicated, and we offered sexually disease screening if the patient chose to. In the 20-page questionnaire, we included the two questions on generalized anxiety disorder, and then we also gave a screening question on depression. But if they clicked enough, because they could do this online, by the way, from their home computer, if they clicked enough symptoms that would indicate that they were at risk for depression, then we gave them the PHQ-9 questionnaire as well. And then additional to that, in the questionnaire, we asked them, what did they consider their health to be? And this was really interesting because some women would say that they had excellent health even if they were obese, or they had a history of dyslipidemia or hypertension, or they might consider their health average, and here they were doing everything right, like adequate amount of exercise or their diet looked great. So it was really interesting how women considered their own health. We wanted to know what their goals of the clinic would be. We wanted them to answer what are the things they think they're doing well with their health and things they wanted to discuss. And then Shanna, what she would do is put the whole questionnaire, everything that the labs, the patient's assessment of themselves, and she would make up a packet of information for each one of the providers. And I was one of the GYN providers, and I attended all of the clinics. So this packet of information I would get prior to seeing the patient, which was great, because then I had a synopsis of all of her health, could discuss her labs with her, and all of her questions. So during the visit, which was a half a day clinic visit from 12 in the afternoon to 5 in the afternoon, they would have 2 hours of this group health education. We'd have a presentation on healthy aging. I would do the menopause presentation, which was about 20 minutes. We would have a nurse practitioner from the cardiology department come and talk about heart health in women. Another presentation on sex and intimacy as women age. We talked about bone health, GYN cancers, which was a part of my presentation, sleep, and then briefly about nutrition as well. Then the individual assessment, I was one of the GYN providers. We had an MD, an OBGYN, who was another GYN provider. We had somebody from internal medicine as primary care visit, and each one of these visits themselves was 30 minutes. We had a PA from the dermatology department come and give a full body assessment on women, and then someone from the College of Health as a health coach. And this year, this wasn't part of the initial pilot study, but this year we've added an LCSW because we found so many women with histories of depression or depression that wasn't being treated adequately. And then we had somebody from audiology come and give a hearing test to the women. Then at the end, we did this meditation, about a 20-minute mindfulness-based meditation, talked a little bit about stress reduction, and then handed them a packet of information from everything from that day. So review the program. We've continued to modify the program over the years. We send out satisfaction surveys to the patients. We actually call them on the phone. And then we would have meetings with the providers to ask the providers how they feel it was going. We're continuing to analyze the data. So this was our group education room. We tried to make it feel homey, and we had the PowerPoint presentations loaded onto a computer so we could talk from there. And in front of each participant, they got a packet of all the PowerPoints so that they could take notes through the presentations. In the nine pilot clinics that we did from November 2009 to December 2011, there were 100 women who attended the clinics, but I only have data available on 62 women because IRB took longer than we anticipated. The clinics were once a month. So on the 62 patients, the average age was about 54, mostly ethnic Caucasians attended the clinic, and that's pretty common for Salt Lake City. We don't have very many ethnic minorities in Salt Lake. 24 were premenopause and 38 were postmenopause. They were a highly educated group, and the majority had insurance. They did have to pay out of pocket for the educational sessions, which was about $125. Otherwise, because each provider bills separately for their part of the assessment, we didn't have any insurance companies turn us down. So if the woman paid out of pocket, we actually did have an overall amount that they paid, which was about $350. So the patient identified goals as they were coming because they actually wanted to prevent diseases. 20 of them did have specific health questions, and most of them wanted all of these other symptoms that they wanted questions answered about. What we found is that 69% of the women had actually seen their primary provider within the last 1 to 2 years. So that's significant when you think about what findings we actually discovered during the clinic, that these were highly educated women with insurance and saw their primary providers within the last 1 to 2 years. However, here on this side of the screen, these are all the women who actually needed colonoscopies, vaccines. So a good portion of them needed vaccines, and a good portion had never had a hearing screen. The average symptoms reported by the screening by patients was almost 13 symptoms, but it ranged from 2 symptoms to 51. One patient had 51 symptoms. And the top 5 symptoms, if you looked at the review of systems by category, the top 5 symptoms, first was problems with sleeping, not surprising. They had problems with heart and lung symptoms like palpitation or asthma or difficulty with breathing. Hot flash and night sweats, also vaginal dryness ranked right up there. Mood swings or changes. And then joint and muscle pain. So those were the 5 top symptoms that women came in with. These were abnormal diagnoses that we found from the clinic assessment. So 27 women had abnormal lymphids that were found from our assessment. 24 women had low vitamin D levels. 12 had osteopenia. So this was pretty interesting. 6 of the women had abnormal mammograms. So a summary of the finding, 19 participants had very significant diagnoses prior to even being seen in clinic, and 54 had a new finding or diagnosis which included dermatology. If you take out dermatology, then it was 47 women, 35 of which of the 54 had significant skin lesions. We found a couple of melanomas, squamous cell cancers in this group. Cardiac risk factors, almost half of the women, we identified additional cardiac risk factors. About 5% of women we found to have a new diagnosis of hypertension. 50% of the women had waist circumferences greater than 35, and 65% of the women have BMIs greater than 25, and this goes along with the national average. This was our most surprising finding, though, that 64% of women actually had undertreated or not treated for depression. So this was really shocking to us to find this much depression, again, in a well-insured, well-educated women who do have access to primary care. So why so many new diagnoses? We feel that it's because we had such a thorough questionnaire. I don't think anybody has ever questioned women quite so thoroughly as we did. And it was completed in advance rather than the day of their exam. We then had personalized pre-visit planning. We did the testing in advance, the lab testing in advance. We also obtained records in advance so we could find out what their previous provider's diagnosis said and how they were diagnosed. We had 30-minute visits with the primary care provider, the GYN, and the dermatology providers. So what was interesting is that what we did was kind of a round robin. The patient was left in one room, and then the providers went from room to room. So the patient also had the same medical assistant who was our scribe, which was great because we have electronic medical records at the University of Utah. So you can actually, if they have seen other providers within the system, you can find out what was seen previously. But in addition to that, whatever was being recorded that day, we could look into that provider. Then we would actually talk in the hallway before you went into the room about what that provider before you saw and discussed so we could coordinate. Okay, I got to her insomnia. You need to talk to her about her depression symptoms. Or I got to her hot flashes. You need to talk to her about her urinary tract symptoms. So it was really great to actually coordinate care with all the different providers. And a couple of patients I saw unusual skin lesions, and I knew that day they'd be able to see the dermatologist. So the conclusions of our study is that this was a very comprehensive history, test, lab results with pre-visit planning, which improved our diagnostic ability. It was a true multidisciplinary model of care. I'm a nurse midwife. I worked with physicians, PAs, nurse practitioners, and it was all coordinated within the University Medical Center. The women were very satisfied with this clinical model of care, and we actually have some women who have requested to come back a second time now that the clinic's been running since 2009. We're getting women back for a second visit. And Shannon, when she would call the patients to talk to them, this is typical of the responses that they got. Thank you so much. I came away with a renewed sense of self and energy to maintain my physical, mental, and spiritual health. So what we want to find out now and what we're looking at now is whether or not the clinic actually motivated them to change. And I can tell you that some of the patients who then subsequently after the clinic was over, came to me as a provider. They were losing weight. They were on a better exercise routine. They were eating better, which, of course, makes them feel better about themselves. They start sleeping better. Having somebody sit down and explain to them what happens as you go through the menopause was really important for these women as well. Thank you.